Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life. This time, there's travel woes, brain fog, and scary books. It's a real positive one this time. Hi, Harry.
Hi, Lizzie.
So we're recording not in the same place today.
Yeah, we're remote.
We're so far away from each other. We're like, what, 3 miles away from each other?
Maybe four.
So I don't feel very well, so I'm trying not to infect as few people as I'm trying to infect as few people as possible. So we've decided to stay in different rooms. That's the real reason, isn't it?
Yes, it's not connected to perhaps my own self-inflicted tiredness that means that I can't move from my sofa. Perhaps I had a little bit of a late night last night.
Yes. Either way, we're quite enjoying being on our own sofas.
Yeah. But we can still bring our podcast to you.
Yes, exactly. So let's start off with highs, as we've started off on a bit of a low. What are your highs from... Well, we missed a week because of aforementioned sickness, but now we're back. So yeah, highs from the last 3 weeks.
I have been really enjoying... Have you heard of Love to Ride?
No.
It's like that... they did this... there was a running one where you signed up, and we all did it quite early on, I think, when we were all starting to do running, and you would log how much running you were doing. And it was kind of like this whole, it's like meant to be this whole social networking site thing that motivates people to get into sport of some sort. And we did the running one, and it was kind of like you could be in a team and you could earn points as a team. Anyway, they've started doing a cycling one, and it was for the whole of September. And somehow they managed to have like massively tapped up all of the work, like corporate networks, because there were loads of companies on it, and our company was on it. And it was really nice. Members of my team who are not avid cyclists at all were the ones that really advocated getting everybody involved. So we ended up with like half our team on it, and we were all like logging our miles and chatting about like what outfits we were wearing for cycling. And like one of my friends in my team genuinely turned around and he was like, this has made me cycle more, like this month I cycled to work more than I have for ages. And I just really liked that. It was kind of like a nice reminder of how that kind of excitement of when you get into something new and it's like a new habit that you like doing. So nice. I really enjoyed that.
So lots of cycling in September.
Yes, I've been on my 3 cycles to work a week commitment, very good, which is amazing. Like I still am amazed that at the beginning of this year, like I've got all these lists that are like cycle once a month to work.
So like, once a it's month, mad, really. Yeah, that's way more now.
I know, I was being very conservative.
You were.
Yeah, and I do. I actually am. I think maybe now I've settled into the mix of cycling and running together, so I actually am doing a lot more consistent runs again and trying to like get a bit more distance, and I'm enjoying it. Like I'm enjoying a long run again, which has taken a little while. I mean, I still feel a bit grumpy about my pace, but I think that's just something I can get over. Interestingly, I think your housemates give me a what for the other week, reminded me that I needed to kind of not be, take things so seriously.
Yeah. They had a little
chat. It does show that sometimes you, yeah, I got given a little talking to and I was like, yeah, you're making a really good point there, Gosha. So what about you? How are your highs?
So my highs are that I've had 2 weekends away since our last episode. So I've been, just a jet setting. Went to Berlin for marathon weekend. Obviously wasn't running the marathon.
Oh, that's my commemorative year.
Yeah, so it'd been a year since we went together.
Watched
the marathon again. Probably like the least interested I've been in watching a race for a while, which sounds really mean on the people that were running, but I was more excited to go to Berlin for the place than cheering the marathon. But it was awesome because it's my favourite place, and had lots of late nights and lots of chats and lots of dancing on the bed and all kinds of things, so it was fun.
Dancing on the bed could sound really suspicious. We'll acknowledge there that you just mean doing a dance. I mean, yeah. I know you well enough to know that's what you mean.
That's not a euphemism for anything.
Yeah,
I literally was stood on the bed dancing around the room because I took my Bluetooth speaker with me. So, just playing some tunes in the hotel, dancing in the bed.
That's a guaranteed essential holiday pack, I think, a Bluetooth speaker.
Do you know what? Buying my Bluetooth speaker has changed my life. I didn't realise how useful they were. I thought I'd just use it for holidays, but I use it all the time. Like, I've been sat in the living room today reading my Kindle. I've just had my speaker with me. Last night when I was lying in bed, I put on the Spotify Songs for Sleeping playlist and then set a timer so it went off after 20 minutes on my speaker. So good.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah, I agree.
So last weekend I was in Barcelona with my mum, had a little kind of trip away with my mum, apart from the kind of lows of both these things, where they were both quite horrific travel experiences. Nearly missed our flight coming back from Berlin because the queue for security was insane, and there was like, I've never seen anything like it, proper shoving, shouting, horribleness. And then trying to get out to Barcelona, I spent kind of 10 hours in Gatwick Airport and then Gatwick Airport Hotel and then flew out nearly 24 hours later than I was supposed to. So it's just really, really stressful. And when you're only going away for 3 or 4 days, you just don't really want it.
Yeah, that's the thing. When it's a short little weekend, you haven't got time to be hanging around the airport, especially not Gatwick.
Well, that's all I kept saying. Well, we're in North Terminal, which is the better one. And I kept saying to my mum, at least we're not in Luton, at least we're not in Stansted, at least we're not in Luton, at least we're not in Stansted. It could have been so much worse. I mean, this is proper first world problems. Like, I'm trying to go to Spain for the weekend. It's hardly... especially the delayed flight. I felt very stressed about that. And I don't think I realised how stressed it made me until afterwards. But yeah, I had 2 weekends away and it was like 25 degrees last weekend. So I was kind of... this time last week, I was in a vest and shorts and now I'm literally... in fleece, everything under a blanket. I put my electric blanket on my bed last night and I made myself a roast dinner this afternoon. So I've gone from one extreme to the other in 7 days.
Well, interestingly, talking of seasonal changes, that's my low, that like the clothing decisions, like, I mean, in general, it seems like in Britain we really struggle at this, but I am a total fail. Like, I can't wear the right coordination of things, and I've been wearing like, I saw someone on the tube the other day wearing UGG boots, hot pants and a woolly jumper, and I was like, this is just, where am I? Like, nobody knows, everybody's as confused as me. We're on the cusp of change, I think.
One really exciting thing that I forgot to mention last time was that I applied for World Athletics tickets for next summer and I got the session for the 10,000 meter men's final.
Oh, that's amazing, well done.
So I get to see Mo's last race on the track.
Oh my God, that's going to be so emotional. Ha ha. Did you get another ticket?
I bought 2 tickets. And since I said this on Twitter, a lot of people have been like, I'm your best friend, right?
as everyone, am I being entered into a ballot? Can I be entered into the ballot to win a place to go with Lissy? Oh, there's some news. Is it not London Marathon ballot release this week too?
It is, yes. Are you in it?
I am.
Are you?
Good luck. Good luck, all pals. Yeah, because, well, why would you, like, as in, you know, you might as well, because you know you're not going to get it. It's kind of like I did it like a lottery. You know, like, if, you know, the likelihood of winning the lottery is probably more likely than getting into the London Marathon. So I just thought I'll put it in anyway.
I didn't go in because I don't want the temptation to even think about it. Well, yeah, because everyone I was talking to was like, well, why didn't you just put your name in? And if you got drawn out, I could have just had your place. And I was like, because I don't even want a place with my name on it, because I don't even want the like potential of me being able to run it to be there, to exist.
Yeah, and you've run it before, you've done it.
Okay, so our first topic today, if I feel, is quite relevant for how I feel right now, because I feel like I do have a bit of this, and that is brain fog. And I feel like I have brain fog at the moment because I don't feel very well, and I feel full of cold, and my head feels like it's full of cotton wool. But what we mostly mean is kind of overuse of your brain fog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how did you, so you recommended an article to me, huh?
Yeah, so it was on the front of Stylist, not last week, the week before. It was kind of their lead story was about brain fog. And I guess the reason they did it was because one of their writers visited this brain spa, which was a little bit ridiculous because it was like, you know, $2,500 to go for 5 days kind of thing. And I was like, well, yeah, if I stayed in this amazing spa in the middle of the mountains for 5 days, I'd probably feel a lot better too. But
no, and they did all those sciencey experiments where they like stuck electrodes to her head and tried to tell, like, test when she was stressed and stuff. And I kept thinking, well, that is going to be very expensive. I don't think I can afford that. I don't think everyone can afford that.
No, but the preamble to the kind of visit to the spa was quite interesting because it was all about how everyone tries to multitask and they think that they're good at it. And actually, you're less productive if you're multitasking than if you just focus on one thing at a time, which is true, I think. And I'm rubbish at doing it. I'm always trying to multitask and it makes me really unproductive.
Yes, I agree. I love their recommendations. I feel like we've definitely walked through some of this before because it's something that super bothers me around stuff about multitasking, because there's that tomato timer, the Pomodoro technique, where you use a timer to like concentrate your work into blocks of time and you focus on one task. And I've been I use that at work a lot. And I find that so useful. And it's just in the article, they recommend like working in 90-minute blocks and having a sort of like running notepad that you could just jot down anything else you need to think about, like as it pops up in your brain, so that you've not forgotten it, but you can go back to it later. And that's a method I find really useful because I need to, like, I'll always, even when I'm working on something, I find it very hard to not let my brain start to think about the next task. So I try to like jot those notes down so that I can go back to focusing on the task I'm doing in hand.
That's a good idea.
Often it begins very well on like Monday, Tuesday, and I quite frequently see that by the end of the week I get worse at it, and I think it's because I'm getting more tired and more like my brain's more worn out, so it's not as good and it gets lazier. So I start to try and multitask more because I'm like, I need to do all my work, I'm in a rush. And I then become less productive, like it's counterintuitive because I become less productive. So it's definitely useful to try and be more militant with that, like list making, compartmentalizing of time. But I'm very familiar with those symptoms.
It says 90 minute blocks. That sounds like a lot of time.
The Pomodoro is 25 and then a 5 minute break.
Okay, but do that three times.
Yeah, and then you get a 10 minute break. So maybe
it
try that one.
Really bad, but I can't remember the last time I did one thing for 25 minutes.
Yeah, that's what you realise, that you...
It's, I don't think I'd be able to do it.
But that's why it's like you have to train yourself.
It forces you to try and do it.
But then today, if you said you were reading your Kindle, that would have been doing one task for like a concentrated amount of time.
Yeah, but I probably haven't done a 25-minute stint on that. Maybe like last night, but definitely not today. But well, I was cooking in between, but also because I'm reading a book that's kind of scaring me, I after every chapter have to kind of like refresh myself with something more lighthearted.
Put it down, have a breather.
I have to remind myself that I'm like, someone's not about to walk in and try and kill me, and then I'm like, okay, I'm fine again.
I'm not, but yeah, I find books like that I have to read really fast. Well, that's something else that associates that they say is a contributing factor to brain fog is the fact that our brains never have downtime now. And what they mean in downtime is like literally like no screens, no like doing the TV stuff, no like checking your email and doing social. Like their argument is that like we're never giving our brains a proper refresh, like sleep isn't enough. And something that I've definitely noticed has affected me is that kind of like the amount of time I spend on screens and the amount of time that my brain is like trying to jump around 100 different things. And the less, like the more I did that, the more I was getting stressed about it. So and therefore the worse this, I was.
I might have said this before, but the only time I feel like I properly switch off is when I'm getting my nails done.
Because that's interesting.
It's the only time where I can't do anything else because I've got both my hands occupied.
Because you physically can't move.
I physically like can't pick up my phone to look at it, or you know, and I'm never watching a TV because I never go to a salon that has a TV in it or anything. There might be a little bit of chit chat, but most of the time I kind of go into this weird sleep-like state. And I swear every time I go and get my nails done, they say something to me like, are you okay? You've gone really quiet and you look really sleepy. And I'm like, it's because I'm not doing anything. I'm awake, but I'm not doing anything. And I swear that is the only time in my entire life that I'm awake but not doing anything at all other than just staring into space.
That's like probably the best, you're probably giving yourself like the best therapy ever. Like getting your nails done and being able to totally zone out, isn't it? Like that's kind of why they created all those like spas and stuff, because people are always trying to get into a state where they can feel like that. It's amazing that it takes someone to take your hands away though.
I know, isn't it? And it's like, especially for that amount of time, it's probably the only time. But yeah, I've been really consciously lately trying to not be on my phone if I'm moving. One, because I get really annoyed with people that do it to me and they like walk towards you and they're not looking where they're going. And two, just to have some time not looking at my phone. there's like absolutely no need to be like on Instagram whilst you're walking along. It's just no need.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, isn't it interesting that we always, when we talk about brain fog now, we directly associate it with the use of our phones and how like it's the main thing that I think has made us feel the most kind of like exhausted, because it's the thing that interrupts your life the most, you know, like, because you can't pick up your TV and bring it with you. So it's not there all the time, but with your phone, it's like constantly nagging, the notification thing, the checking what's going on, have I missed anything thing. It's just never not there. I was going to think about something else around that, is that it gives you, like I would say that you don't necessarily notice the brain fog while you're using your phone and stuff. It's never during the time when it's all happening, you're like getting on with stuff and you're multitasking. You might not feel productive, but like you're doing it, like you're being proactive. It's like the after effects. So they talk about that thing of like the absent-mindedness, like the amount of times I've like missed my tube stop or traveled quite a long way in the wrong direction and not realized, says so much about how much I was like completely in my own little world, like zoned out. And their example is like you leave the fridge door open or you forget where you put your keys. And definitely some of the like those small changes around how I use my phone and why I use my phone and when have, I think, how and how I compartmentalize at work, like has helped me, like my brain feels sharper. And I can't explain how that doesn't make sense. But yeah, there's got to be a correlation between it.
Well, it's like last time you came around here and I got to my house and I'd realised I'd left my keys at work.
Oh, yeah.
So I couldn't even get into my house. I had to go all the way back to work again. It's because, do you know what? So much stuff has happened to me recently like that, and I've lost so many things, and I used to be the kind of person that I just never lost stuff, and I've lost so much stuff recently. And that's what's made me, things like that make me realise that this is not a good place to be. So I haven't actually tried it yet, but I got recommended Headspace app, which I know a lot of people use.
Yeah.
But have you used it?
I've used the trial version, which gives you up to 10 minutes. But it's really good. I really like it. I've also, yesterday, I got recommended Calm and Breathe. I think maybe it's Calm is a female voice. There's like a few different ones. And they sound like very similar kind of techniques. for like getting a bit of headspace. What we haven't touched on is how, and do they reference it in the article? Or, I mean, I know people have said it to us a lot, that like that sport and fitness and running is their way of getting headspace and like giving themselves like the brain time to recuperate. How do you feel about that? I mean, your relationship with running at the moment is mixed. So is it something that gives you that headspace?
I feel like that's what's missing a lot at the moment. So I've run twice since Stockholm, so twice in a month, and they were both like half an hour. So I don't really have a running, I'm gonna like use a yoga word here, I don't really have a running practice at the moment. So maybe that is also why I'm struggling with not having one. But I have kind of felt a longing for yoga recently, so I think I'm gonna get back into that, because when I used to do it regularly, I found that made a massive difference to my kind of mental state.
Yeah, because that is, it's like almost enforced, isn't it, time to think for yourself, even if it's just that last 10 minutes at the end of a class, it gives you time to think about just yourself, nothing else.
I've never really found running that, unless I have and I just not realise, but I've never really consciously found running that much of a kind of therapy.
Like a therapeutic thing.
Yeah, at all. Maybe it's because I never do it on my own. I very rarely run on my own. And if I do, I tend to work myself up about it first.
Yeah. I don't know. I know what you mean. I don't think I directly associate it, but there are times where I think if there's been a stint when I haven't been running for a while, it's maybe it's just to do with it being a signaler that like I'm in my routine, like my life's in my pattern, because I'm getting out there and moving. So maybe it's not necessarily like it's not the running itself. It's just the, by doing that activity, that's part of me looking after myself and kind of being like a functional human being.
Yeah, I think that's more it, because if I think about a yoga class and how I feel at the end of yoga, I definitely immediately feel kind of more relaxed and more kind of at peace and centered and that kind of thing. But I never finish a run feeling like that. I obviously feel better. I very rarely feel worse for having been for a run, but I never feel like, yes, I've had time and space to be with my thoughts now.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe that's where you run and stuff as well. Like maybe if I was one of these people who could run around like laps of a track, maybe you get into that mind frame more easily. But I feel a bit like I'm quite active in my mind when I'm running, but almost from the point of view of being like, oh, there's a car, there's some pedestrians,
exactly.
Oh, look at that nice dog.
If my inner dialogue whilst I was running, I actually feel like it'd be more noisy than when I'm not. Like, it'd be like, oh, this hurts, oh, there's a car, oh, no, no, no. Oh, I've got to up here, oh, this is a hill. Like, it's just, it feels like it would be constant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's much more frantic.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's what makes it so zen afterwards, because you've just got, like, all of that out, and then it's like, ah.
Yeah, you get it out. That's true.
At work the other day, we had to vote on what kind of, we do this like self-taught learning thing now where someone in the team like leads a module and you get given the like teacher's notes, and we had to vote on which topic we wanted to do next, and it was like absolute runaway that people wanted to do stuff to do with resilience and working smarter, not harder, and stress management. And I thought they're all very similar. Like, everyone was very much like, we're doing loads of work and I want to know how to manage it better, and I want to like feel better about the fact that I've got loads of work to do and telling people no kind of thing. And I was like, everyone feels like they're struggling with the same thing. Like, no one was like, oh, I want to learn I don't know, like impact and influence. It was more all very like learning to deal with stuff themselves topics.
Yeah, and they're saying that's a growing trend, that more people, I think that's a direct correlation between the way our society is now. We're just expected to be functioning at like 100 miles an hour all of the time.
And so, I have done nothing this weekend. I went to Frieze yesterday, art fair, for like 2 hours, which was awesome. But also, even though it's out of the house, I felt it was kind of like quite a nice, calm thing to do. But other than that, I've literally sat in my house the whole weekend and it's been so good.
Yeah, it's that's it, isn't it? It's like giving yourself a chance. Like, I wish I could say I'd kind of done the same thing. It's been a bit of a packed weekend. But next week.
Yeah.
Next agenda is my one.
But yeah, I volunteered to lead the working smarter, not harder module. So when I've done that in a couple of weeks' time, maybe I'll talk about it.
Oh yeah, I'm very interested to hear about that. See, look how excited I am. I need to do that. Well, I'd be interested to know how people feel about this in our wider podcasting world. Do you think, particularly the running thing, people discuss running as therapy. Like, is the running the thing that's therapy, or is it? Like, what does it do that makes you feel better?
Before we move on to our next topic, a quick reminder about our newsletter. The One for the Road newsletter lands in your inboxes alternate Tuesdays, so you can get your dose of our rumblings in the weeks we aren't in your ears. We share links, snaps and thoughts from across the internet with the occasional cinnamon bun thrown in for good measure. You can subscribe via the bar at the bottom of our snazzy new website, which is oneforthroadpodcast.com. So to talk about our new regular topic about books, we did quite a long list last episode of what we were reading. Are you reading anything new this time?
Well, I have a bit of a confession. I've not kept the momentum up after my holiday that I've done so well, unsurprisingly, I suppose. But I have been enjoying a lot more articles. Mm-hmm. I have fallen into a bit of like the pool or a stylist hole quite
That's
a lot
good.
On that topic. From our earlier topic around brain fog and multitasking, how do you make yourself more efficient, has been creeping up a lot. But actually, the two that I'm loving, that I want to recommend, are actually newsletters, they're emails. One is called Story Things, and it's by an agency called Story Things. And they send every week 10 stories we've enjoyed, and they are from like design, technology, like art world, and they're things like, I just watched one earlier, and they'd pointed out a video by a Pixar illustrator about how you'd use like creativity and collaboration to tell it, like to create a story. I just really enjoyed like listening to his process and like listening to like what the Pixar process approach is to writing a story, because it's really collaborative, it's not just one person's idea. So I'd recommend that one. And the other one is of a similar vein, but it's called Yammer Time, and it's by an organization called FutureGov, who design public services for like digital aid. So actually, like, isn't really related to what they do. I think it's a bit of like a, you know, they're raising awareness, but similarly, it's like topics from that kind of world. And I just really like that it's called Yammer Time, and they send it on every Friday, and it's, the subject line is stop Yammer Time, and I cannot not say it or read it without that in my head, and it always brightens my Friday as something different to read, particularly when it comes through and you don't want to do any work anymore.
So two things there. Do you have Yammer at your work?
Because no.
Yammer's Yammer? Like the Facebook of the corporate world, and it comes with the Microsoft Office like package.
Oh, I think we're getting that, the new Microsoft Office soon, you know. So maybe we'll get it. Is it like social, so you can do social networking?
It's like the social network of businesses, yeah. So everyone in my company is on it, and it took a while to like kick off, but it's actually quite a lot of people using it now. And I was going to say something else then. Oh yes, please start saving your links that you're reading in Pocket so I can see them too.
Oh yeah, I will.
That's a good idea. Pocket is a very useful app for sharing stuff you find on the internet, by the way, if you don't know what it is.
Yes.
So I think I said last time, but I'm still trying to read Control-Alt-Delete by Emma Gannon. I haven't finished it yet. I started reading The Lesser Bohemians, which I've seen publicised all over the place, but they also mentioned it on the Seriously podcast last week, and they really enjoyed it, but I am really, really, really struggling. Really struggling. It's really? Written in such a bizarre way. This just goes to show that I just read chick lit all the time, because it's like written like a poem. I have to really, really concentrate to understand what the meaning of the sentence is, because it's like the words are in the wrong order.
Yeah. And it's not fluid. It's very hard to read that, isn't it?
It takes some serious concentration, and I really like books that I like steam through. I like the feeling of like making really quick progress.
An easy read.
I'm still making absolutely everyone I know read Reasons to Stay Alive. I've passed it on to a new person at work who's reading it. And I also bought my mum a copy last weekend. So when I get my copy back from my colleague, I'm going to reread it again. So I think I'm on like the 10th person that I've made read it now, which is good.
Well, I mean, I'd recommend that book to so many people. It's so moving and so like poignant, and similarly to talking about some of that stuff around how you think about yourself, how you think about others. It's so like eye-opening.
Yeah, it's very, very good. And I am currently, what I'm reading today is The Girl on the Train. Purely because it's come out of the cinema and I want to see the film, and I don't want to see the film before I've read the book. So I'm trying to read the book. I'm going to finish it today before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm. I must.
I must. Might even go to cinema tomorrow if I finish it today. But it's a little bit scary because I'm a complete wuss.
I find books, I love books like that, but I'm much more scared of books than I am of films because it's my own imagination.
Yeah. And it's not even that scary. I just, I had to stop reading Harry Potter because I got scared. So that's kind of my bar.
Read it really fast. I normally read those bits really fast. I like skim through them.
Right. So let's end on what we've got coming up. I don't think there's much coming up. Not many races
well,
in, do you?
Well, where are you going there, Lissy?
Oh, okay.
What's happening next weekend?
Okay, next weekend. All right, not got much
coming
up.
Do you want to drop in some more holiday?
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. There's not much coming up, but I'm going to Amsterdam on Friday.
Hashtag loving life.
Yes. So what was my end of season PB attempt is now very much in the bin, and I'm going for cheering purposes only, but I'm very excited because lots of people are going, and I know people that are running the full and the half. So I get a full day of cheering fun.
It will be a good one for cheering. It'll be really nice.
But race-wise, I have nothing else planned in now.
No, I don't either. We're getting to that point where it's like, with Royal Parks today, that kind of signals to me the end of the, or the pretty much the end of the season. I'm a bit annoyed I haven't managed to do a half marathon again before the end, but never mind. I need to work out what I'm going to do next year.
Yeah, I feel like with the emotional battering that was Stockholm, followed by not running for 2 weeks, followed by being ill for 2 weeks, I am literally starting from square one again when I do eventually put my trainers on. So in a way annoyed, but in a way also feel like the world is my oyster again and I can aim for something all over again.
Yeah. Oh, I really like that. You're right. That sounds like a very exciting prospect.
On that, I'm going to end on a tweet that Erin from Jazz Yoga posted earlier, which I really liked. And she said, what would happen if you approached your injury as an invitation back to balance rather than a setback?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Even though I'm not injured, I'm just kind of like, I feel unwell, too unwell to run. I'm kind of seeing it as that, like an opportunity to reset rather than a thing that I aimed for and didn't hit.
Yeah, and often because sometimes the way we've got to that injury or got to, you know, feeling run down is because we've overdone it. Like, we would have never got there anyway because we were doing too much. My God, look at us getting all night, you know.
Deep.
Deep. I can't even think of the words. So tired. Well, it's been nice to chat, even in our room.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Note format. We should have wine. We need to go back to wine.
Yes. Maybe we'll introduce being in the same room and wine again next time. That's all for this episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, make sure you follow us all over the internet. We are on Twitter and Instagram at OFTRpodcast. You can email us at OFTRpodcast@gmail.com. You can listen to all of our back catalogue and check out all of the show notes with links to everything we've spoken about at our website, oneforthroadpodcast.com, or you can listen via iTunes or any other podcast app on your smartphone, where we'd really appreciate it if you left us a review.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.